Do you mind if I just take one call?
Not at all.
We're talking just before you walked in, Phil Vitale, restaurant critic, Chicago Tribune, about people using fake IDs, what it's been like over the years for all of us. Jim, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi. Hold on, Jim.
You're talking to Jim?
Yeah, I am. You're on the air, bud.
Hey, it's a fellow dog lover.
Hey!
When I came back from down there, I went to work for a bar in the northwest suburbs that had about four locations, owned by one of the ex-Bear quarterbacks. And while bartending, unknown to me, I served one of the people on the other side of the bar that worked as a server, and she served the drink to an underage person. I got arrested and went to Niles, Cook County Jail for about 4 hours waiting for that ex-quarterback to come and bail me out.
So let me see if I got this right. You give the drink to the waitress, and then she finishes the deal with a customer who's an underage plant, and you go to jail?
Yep, I poured the alcohol.
I know. Wow.
That sounds like a sting.
Didn't happen in Carbondale. I remember walking down the street with 2 6-packs of Old Style on my belt.
I know. In Carbondale, they didn't care.
Everything happens differently in college towns. There are bars that let people in that are underage, but they have to wear an ID that says don't serve them liquor.
Yeah, but I think an under 20-year-old person, I think if you're 20 years old, you should be allowed to sell alcohol. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You should be allowed to sell alcohol.
Well, but then you're putting that 20-year-old under pressure to sell to her friends or his friends. And
okay, maybe. Because, if you're in line at the Jewel and they call out 21, why are they calling out 21?
Because the cashier is under 21.
Yeah, not because they doubt your age, but because that's a young person. So then Marge comes over and she just did that accomplish that much right there?
I might be mistaken, but I'm pretty confident that at Whole Foods, even it goes beyond just being 21. You have to be, there are certain people there who are trained to sell alcohol. Yeah. So you could be over 21 and not be able to do it.
Wow.
I think that's happened to me.
My personal opinion is that if you're allowed to enter into a binding contract or be drafted into the Army at age 18, you should be allowed to have a beer.
I disagree with that. I always have.
Quite a few people do.
I've never understood that equation. I mean, I understand that we're asking you to do a lot if you... Well, nobody gets drafted, but if you volunteer...
Anymore.
Say it again?
Anymore.
Yeah, right. But I mean, if you are willing to serve our country, I really appreciate that. But I'm not sure that the reward should be alcohol. I mean, why not give them, a raise or better health care?
Oh, sure. I don't see it as a benefit. I just see it as defining adulthood.
Fair enough.
And then the rental car companies don't want anything to do to you with you until you're 25.
Yeah, which is really weird.
Mm-hmm.
I've run into that with my kids before. I said, rent a car. I can't. You recently reviewed an Indian restaurant. Is that right?
Yes. Last week. Rue. R-O-O-H. And the chef, Sujan Sukar, has restaurants in New York and San Francisco, very well regarded, and several places in Great Britain and India. And he came here earlier this year and opened up what you'd call a rather contemporary take on Indian cuisine. For instance, he has a dish that's actually made, it's kind of like an Indian tuna tartare. You know, so that's a fish you're not going to find in India, but he just kind of combined the two, that ingredient with a traditional Indian preparation and came up with a pretty good dish.
Rue, so is it not traditional Indian food then?
All the preparations and the spices, the flavors they use, they're all from tradition. Keeping in mind that India is a huge country and traditions can vary quite a bit within those parameters, but... Then he'll use ingredients that you would not, say, find on a traditional Indian restaurant, or you wouldn't find in India. You may not find tuna being held with very much.
What did you give it?
I gave him 3 stars.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Kind of pricey? Indian restaurants usually aren't.
Right. On the grand scale of Indian restaurants, when so many of them are the really inexpensive buffets, this is really pricey. But you're paying for... quality ingredients and to order preparation, and it's a legitimate restaurant. It's not food sitting out on a steam table somewhere waiting for you. And then there's a place for that economically, but I tend to prefer the pricier ones.
It's funny, though. Chinese restaurants are that way. A lot of Asian-based restaurants are that way. So the food will be delicious, and sometimes they'll have a little table in the area where you're waiting for your takeout.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they've expanded it to have a dining room, it never sort of reaches the level of comfort that Western American restaurants have, you know, an American steakhouse or something like that. And I don't know where the disconnect is.
I think it's a slow process. You'd have to go back about 50 years and realize that formal Italian restaurants were practically unheard of. It were all little mom and pops, and they had this. You go to, you have places to even have a pasta buffet on sometimes at lunch just to get people in. Ultimately, the customers decide what kind of restaurant you're going to be, and if your client base of the kind just want an $8.95 buffet, well, you just cinch your belt and say, okay, we'll do an $8.95 buffet.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, for $8.95, you could probably get $18.95 if you served some decent cocktails and spruced up the joint a little bit. I mean, that's what we do here in America.
Right. It takes time. It takes time for the public to decide, yes, this is worth paying a premium price for. Arun Sampathavivat opened up Arun's more than 20 years ago. It was a hit. It was upscale Thai. And since then, it has been followed by approximately zero upscale Thai restaurants. Nobody else has been able to clear that bar.
Yeah.
A couple tried, didn't last very long.
It's
quite perplexing.
That must be the challenge for restaurateurs, is to know the marketplace, right? So John Williams just came up with a really good idea. Guess what? He didn't come up with a really good idea. That's not going to fly. That's not going to go. They have to know that. They're putting their money and their careers, their food on the line. If they guess wrong, they're in trouble.
Right. And tastes change and they ebb and flow. Right now, Korean is a much easier sell as a cuisine. People are, oh, Korean, yeah, let's go to Korean. Well, I'm sorry, it was Thai. Oh.
That was last week.
Yeah. Hmm. Let me check
this.
My schedule.
It's 150 on WGN. My number's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. The sometimes popular Phil's Flash Fry segment is next. This is where you just call in and give us an area, a restaurant, a food that you like or you have a question about. You can brag about a place or you can ask about a place. Phil will do his best to take on all comers. Where would you like to know? What would you like to eat? Where do you want to go? 312-981-7200, WGN. Folks still recollecting their getting carded experiences. 312, I was elected president of my fraternity while at Marquette University in 1984. The next day after the election, I got a call from the Miller rep wanting to know how many kegs we needed.
There you go.
It was a different time.
There was an intense competition between those breweries, too. It sounds weird, but it really was. There weren't microbreweries, you know. If you spent up, you were getting a Heineken or a St. Pauli girl.
But it would still seem to me like the universities themselves as institutions would look askance at that. Not sure if askance is a word, but you know what I mean.
Well, it's a beer, it's changed, but it's a real beer culture there. What made Milwaukee famous?
I have a joke, and the punchline is the beer that made Melfamy walk us. Do you want to hear it sometime?
After you're done with the weather.
John, in 1984, I was sentenced to 20 hours of community service at the Peoria Public Library for giving a police officer a fake ID. And then somebody sent in their fake ID that they still carry with them. It says, John, I use this when I get carded, maybe at the Jewel, but it's a picture. It's Frank Sinatra's driver's license.
Oh.
It's Frank Sinatra's signature, photograph, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just hand him Frank Sinatra, Beverly Hills, California, gray hair, blue eyes, 170 pounds, 5'11".
To this day, nobody messes with Frank.
I know. What are you going to do, card Frank? No, you're not.
No, you're not.
The news, Phil's Flash Fry in 60 seconds. Speaking of good food, my producer on Saturdays, Griffin, is about to, he's about a month now into Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating Plan. Lou Manfredini does it. Steve Cochran here does it. They love the food. They love the fact that they're eating smart and losing weight. Griff likes the convenience. He loves the fact that now he doesn't have to make out a grocery list or shop or cook or plan or even clean pots and pans. The meals are delicious and delivered to his doorstep. And there's a lot of variety, too. You never with Seattle Sutton get the same meal twice over a five-week span. You and I can't say that. There are no gimmicks, no diet fads. This is the food you should be eating forever. They've served 90 million meals. And there are 20-plus Chicagoland distributors where you can easily pick up the food or have them deliver it right to you. How about that? Here's the number to call, 1-800-442-DIET, 1-800-442-DIET. Visit SeattleSutton.com. All right, we got 2 minutes, Phil. Phil's flash fry for 2 whole minutes. This is where you call in.
I love you most of all, my favorite.
All right, Paul, you're on WGN with Phil for the Phil flash fry.
Okay, here we go, Phil. So, yeah, thin crust pizza, like Vito and Nick's in the south side of 84th and Pulaski is where I like to go.
Good place. I like that place.
Yeah, great place, great pizza, authentic, you know, homemade pizza by pizza making generations. Where else would you recommend that I go? And there are others that I have in mind, but I'd like to hear your opinion.
Thin crust pizza we're talking.
Yeah, we're talking about thin crust almost a tavern style. They don't cut it into squares at Vito Nick's, but
where's the
they
place
do have
Vito
really
Nick's?
Thin. Vito Nick's down on Pulaski and 94th. Is that 80, too far?
Yeah, 84th and Pulaski. 84th. They cut it into squares. They use fennel seed in their sausage.
Wow, okay, hold on. So give us another one. What else
it's
do you
a
like?
Legit. This is like the party pizza, so I don't get into that very often. So my thin crusts are more like Peace Pizza up on North Avenue. And as you know, I'm a big fan of Robert's Pizza here right in North Pier, the old North Pier, now River East Arts Center, excuse me.
By the Winters Jazz Club.
Yes, right next door.
Yeah.
You get your pizza and your jazz. How do you beat that?
Yeah, no kidding. Winters Jazz downtown. And the name of that place is?
Robert's. Pizza and Dough Company.
Yeah. Phil, where can I get good German food?
Milwaukee.
Berlin.
The German scene has really been, you know, they've just been shrinking back. People, they retire. Nobody's there to take over. There's still the Berghoff. We still have the Berghoff.
That is true. All right, I'm out of time. I got a list of questions for you from text and calls.
Oh, give me some homework.
We're only going to do this segment next week. Next segment, I'll give you the homework. All we're doing is Phil's Flash Fry next week. Only Phil's Flash Fry next week.
Right.
Stay well, Phil.
Okay.
Phil Patel, restaurant critic, Chicago Tribune.